Okay, let's take our Bible, Revelation chapter 3. We're beginning at verse 13. And let's stand to read the Word of God tonight. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say to the churches. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight as we look at the Word of God. And Lord, you'd challenge us, Lord, to learn it better and to know it more. Lord, bless this time and bless these folks, Lord, that are here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, I encourage you to ask questions. Even write them down. Just say, hey, preacher. Don't shoot me an email right now. A text now because it comes up here, and I just rather not to do that. I was preaching one day, and something came up. I don't know how it came through my Facebook on this, and somebody was in church, so I knew that they're reading their Facebook during church. So don't do that. That's not good. All right, great stuff. Amen. Technology at its best. Verse 13, let us hear what the Lord says to make our church like the Church of Philadelphia. Thank God for the true churches left today, even though there are fewer, unfortunately. The letter of the Church of Laodicea, verse 14. Unto the angel of the Church of Laodicea and write. We all know the angel, according to chapter 1, is the pastor. He is the heralder, the one that preaches, the one that speaks out. And the Bible says, this is the church of Laodicea. The word Laodicea in the Greek means to please the people. To please the people. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 says that you cannot please the people and please God at the same time. It is our responsibility to please God. If you want to be pleased, then get on God's side and do what God wants you to do. Amen. These things saith the Amen. There's another description of Jesus Christ. The word Amen means so let it be, or it will be so. And you'll hear people say, well, Amen. Well, it's going to be so. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. Jesus is reminding the people that his prophecy will transpire just as he said it would. And boy, I'll tell you what, we're certainly seeing it take place today, man. Seeing different things that are going on in our life and our world. Just incredible. And to know that Jesus Christ has already said that these things are coming. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, trust in the Lord. Just keep going and serving the Lord. Keep doing what God wants you to do. Some things are going to come up in your life that's going to shake your timbers. Something in your life, the water's going to come over the bark of your boat, amen. But just remember that anything that ever comes to you, God knows what's going to happen. He knows. And if you're a born-again Christian and you know that Jesus Christ said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'm going to be there with you. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. The rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so the troubles and sorrows that come into our lives, the things that we get a little frustrated about, and we kind of like, are you kidding me? You know, I'm sure none of you had any of that already. I was hoping that 2017, we're just going to be smooth sailing, amen? But learning a lot of things, amen, and learning to trust the Lord. The faithful and true witness, he says. A witness tells what he has seen. Jesus sees all that goes on in our churches. And one day, he will witness concerning what he said. And that's why we always want to be very careful what we do business with the Lord. Amen? How we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. And look at, he says, verse 15, cold. That same word comes from this icy water. It's a pretty good description of the many churches today. They're just cold. There's icy water. You walk into them, you wonder why you went there. You walk into them, you don't get anything. You walk out, and you're not fed. There's no balm of Gilead there, no ointment that salves the sin-sick soul. There seems to be just words instead of finding what the Bible says and how we get to the next day. Amen. Then he says the word hot. Hot means burning or fervent. Well, wouldn't that be wonderful that someday when we get to heaven, God said, I want to tell you something. That church at Heritage Baptist Church, man, it was a burning church. It was on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the word neither cold nor hot sums up what most places are. In other words, it's spoken in the next verse, they were lukewarm. Have you ever drank coffee or a hot drink that was nearly cool? I like frappuccino, but that's got to be cold, amen. But have you ever tried a frappuccino that was just sitting there for a while and you take a sip of it and go, you know? And my mother used to say my grandmother loved her coffee so hot it'd melt her dentures, amen. And she liked hot coffee. It has an awful taste. How awful for the child of God who's supposed to be red hot on fire for God to be lukewarm. Did you know that lukewarmness? Commentator I was reading, he said more people are sent to hell because of lukewarm people than anything else. The world has more respect for a drunkard in the gutter than for a Christian who is half and half lukewarm. Says one thing and does another. Well, that's a terrible thing. That's a terrible thing. How many times have I heard a lost person hide behind the lukewarm Christian and say, I'm just as good as they are. How many ever heard that? Yeah, we all hear it. Well, I'm just good at it. Why would I want to go to your church? I know some of your members over there. I see what they do. They cheat and they steal. They don't take care of their bills. They don't do this. They don't do that. Why in the world would I want to go someplace like that? That's pretty hard to overcome, isn't it? Well, what do you mean? What do you mean go to your church? I see some of your families, they're out golfing, they're out fishing on Sunday. They stay home, watch a football game more than go to church. So I guess it's not that important, is it, preacher? I want to crawl inside my shoes when people say that. Look at verse 16. Look at the word spew. That's a wonderful name. Spew means to vomit, regurgitate. I have another word to say, but it starts with P, but I'm not going to say it. God said the lukewarm Christian makes him want to vomit, makes God want to vomit. Think of what Jesus Christ did for all of us. Think what he did for us. And we just kind of blow it off. Well, you know. Well, I can always ask God to forgive me. I can always, hey, I'm just human. And humans, they make mistakes. You know, the Bible says over in 1 John, a Christian hates to sin. He despises to sin. It just grieves him to sin because he knows that that brings a terrible, terrible testimony to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not so bad. I'm sort of lukewarm, are the comments of many people that I visit. God says, that makes me want to vomit. That makes me very upset. What does the doctor give someone when he wants him to vomit? Lukewarm water. And a little bit of Ipecac or whatever they're using to get you to. How many have ever had to do that at a doctor's office? I always say, someone said to me, well, I don't know if that's good to eat or not. It's been out. I said, you know what? I'm just going to eat something else. Because I don't want an $1,800 or $2,700 bill to puke up at the doctor's office. I've seen people with food poisoning. How many ever seen a person with food poisoning? It's not a pretty sight. And you don't want to get it. I know it's a great way to lose weight, but it's not a good idea. It's going to cost you. In doubt, throw it out. That's right. If it's blue and on cheese, it's okay. But if it's white, it's not okay. But if it's blue on meat, it's not okay. White, it probably is okay. But I'll be very honest with you. I'd rather eat peanut butter and jelly and get sick. That's not my favorite thing to do, to see what I already ate. So I finally got to you and you understand what God says. That's what the church is like. That's what the church is like, he said. I'm sick of it. I'm just sick. Boy, I'll tell you what, it must break the heart. Some of you folks have been around some churches and seen the things that are going on. I don't understand. It breaks my heart. In the name of Jesus, you're doing that? Are you kidding me? I just can't believe it. I mean, even some good churches, they used to stand for the faith. They're just not there. Notice the first part of the verse, what the church said about itself. They had the beautiful furnishings and the prestige and the self-satisfied. Note what God says about them. He said, you're poor. They were just opposite of Smyrna. He said, you're naked. Laodicea was one of the most fashionable cities of its day, yes. But God said, you're naked. He said, you're blind. You're nearsighted. They're blinded to the souls around them. They're blinded to the missions they need to be responsible. They're blinded by the responsibility that God gives to the local church. Imagine if you, Ken, sitting in the church at Laodicea on Sunday morning, and the pastor of the church says, I got a letter from the Apostle John, and it's addressed to the First Baptist Church of Laodicea, and I need to read it this morning. Imagine the service at Laodicea. Can you see the anger in the faces of the aristocrats? Notice that there was hope for this church, though. You know, many a cold church, if it gets set on fire with God, I'll tell you what, it'll change the whole attitude of that whole church. Many preachers have set a lot of churches on fire through the Holy Spirit of God. The Wesley brothers came, and boy, I'll tell you, they preached over in England. Man, things changed. They came to America, and churches changed. William Booth, Whitfield came to churches and preached great sermons. Dale Moody, Bob Jones Sr. They said, old Bob Jones Sr. come into town and the bars would close up and the theaters would shut down. They just came in and hundreds of people start going to church after his great meetings. Amazing thing. John and Bill Rice and many others who God lit their heart on his fire and they all of a sudden just did great things before God. Note the prescription that God gave them. He said, you need my salve. My salve, first of all, it stings or hurts. Anybody ever had an infection in your eyes? It stings when you first put it in. It really stings. And then you can't see out of your eyes. And then after a while, you can see. And it heals them. Man, it stings and hurts and blinds, but then it heals. You know, there's some things in our lives that you and I have to go through that it really hurts us. It really burdens our hearts, and God's getting a hold of us. God's pounding us, and we finally said, Lord, I can't take any more of this. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of... I pray a prayer. I said, Dear God, would you please forgive me of the things in my life that are not right? And Lord, if there's something that I don't even know, even like if I've hurt somebody's feeling, or if I hurt somebody I don't even know about. That's what David prayed about, the secret sins. It was secret to David. He said, Lord, if there's something I've hurt somebody by saying something, Lord, please, please, God, forgive me of that. Then verse 19, as many as I love, what's the next four words? I rebuke and chasten. As many as I what? Love. Many as I love. Many as I love. Hey, the parent doesn't spank your kid just to spank the kid. You administer punishment to that child so they know that you're serious. And you minister that punishment to that child so that they know that there's a consequence to sin. You have to take personal responsibility of what you've done. I see more kids in trouble because they're unwilling to take responsibility. Well, I didn't do it. Then who did it? Well, I'm sure somebody else did, but I wouldn't do anything like that. Clean your room? Yep. Walk in there. It looks like World War III. Or it looks pretty good. You start looking in inside her closet. It looks like Fibber McGee and Molly's closet. Amen. You wouldn't even know. How many know what Fibber McGee and Molly is? Only Jim, of course. There you go. A couple more people. Amen. Amen. Every time he opened it, it was a radio show, and when they opened up the door in his closet, it sounded like every brass band instrument was in there falling out. Amen. A preacher who will not stand against the sin of his people doesn't love them. The Bible said God shows his love by chastening them. It's not an easy thing to chasten. If you're a real dad and you love your child with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, it's not a pleasure to spank them. It's not a pleasure at all. It breaks your heart. Some people discipline their child because it makes them mad. Or they broke something of their dad's, or they broke something of their mother's, and so they're gonna tune them up instead of realizing that you love them so much that you know that you'd rather them to stand before you as a judge than the county judge or the city judge or the district court judge. And so we have to administer that punishment. Many times I go to my boys with tears in my eyes and say, you know what? I love you with all my heart. There's nothing hurts me more than to have to discipline you right now. But I have to discipline you so that you will know that when you do something that is wrong, there's a consequence you have to pay for. And I tell them, someday, I'm not going to be your dad. As a discipline father, I'll always be your father, but I'm not going to be able to discipline you because you'll be older. You'll be out of my house, be out of my responsibility. And I said, there's people out there that can discipline you. Please do not discipline you. All they do is take you into corrective custody so that the judge and your peers can judge you and to make you pay for what you've done wrong. To get you to the point that you can be a person that comes into the community and you add to it, you help your community instead of destroy it. That's all it is. That's all it is. When somebody's a perpetrator and does something wrong, the law enforcement is not there to punish them. Now, if they're stupid enough to pull a gun on them, they're going to be punished by their own stupidity. All he's doing is protect his own livelihood so that he can get home and see his wife and kids. Pull a gun on a law enforcement officer, you're going to get shot. You know. If they can try any other way to get you in custody, they'll try it. And the only reason they're doing that, they're going to bring you before the judge who has been voted on by the community or the state, and he is going to, by the laws that are dictated by the government of Montana or wherever, or the federal laws, he's going to judge you with those laws. But a lot of law officers, they're not to hurt people. They're to corral them and bring them in. No more than a crazy cat. You try to get the cow into the chute, and he won't do it. Suffer the consequences. And so that's what it is. So the Lord says here, He says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." And many of us have felt the chastening rod of the Lord. Then He says, "Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Be zealous. You ever heard of a zealot? People are zealous about their job. They just, that's the greatest thing. Well, He said, hey, be zealous. Get on it. Get with it. You want your child to be zealous about cleaning his room, amen? You want your child to be zealous about going where you told him to go or to her to go. You want that. You want immediate, delayed obedience is disobedience. You want them immediately. My dad used to say, son, if I wanted it tomorrow, I would have told you. I want it now. My dad didn't have much time for dilly-dallying. Anybody know what dilly-dallying is? My dad didn't think much about dilly-dallying. What did you dilly-dally over? Now get over and get this thing done. And the Bible says, hey, quit dilly-dallying. Repent. Get it over with. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Forgive us our sin, cleanse us of all righteousness. Simple as that. Now, we ask God to forgive us. But if we've done something wrong and we've offended somebody else, we've got those penalties to pay. But God will forgive us immediately. Lord, I'm sorry. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus stands outside the door of a cold and lukewarm church. He is always there, asking for permission. What a pity. Can I come in? No, we're too busy. I've got too much other stuff to do. The Lord stands knocking at your heart door. By the way, if you ever see a picture of Salzman's picture of Jesus Christ standing and knocking on a door, you'll notice one thing. Next time you see it, notice it. Anybody know what there's not there? What? There's no door handle. You have to be let in. Look at it. You'll see the picture. I don't like the long-haired Jesus that he painted, but still it's a simulation of that's what he wanted to do. But y'all get the idea. There's no door handle. He will not force himself into your church. He will not force himself into your heart. He wants you to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. He wants you to give everything you have, but he will not drag it out of you. Y'all understand that, right? That's why it's so important that we come before him and ask him to forgive us our sins and ask him to live in our heart and ask him to be the total ruler of our life and tell him that we want to be his bond slave. A true bond slave is one whose ears are always cocked, always listening. Y'all have dogs. Most of you do. Some of you do. my crazy hound dog, if I go, sometimes he comes, sometimes he doesn't. I'll guarantee one thing he'll come to. It's kind of like you all got a cat, just turn that, what do you call it, can opener on. They'll come, but all I have to do is, today I was going to take Marcy out to McDonald's for dinner. It's Wednesday, we usually go out to McDonald's for dinner. And I no more than pick my keys up. That stinking dog's ear is cocked. He's jumping this high. Dong, dong, dong. Looks like he's on a, what do you call him? Pogo stick. Crazy dog. Going crazy. I said, I made a mistake. I said, you want to go for a ride? He has an ear perked for that. He is tuned into that. Ladies and gentlemen, may God help us to be tuned in to everything the Master wants. See, the bond slave is a man that was a slave. And his time was up. In Jerusalem, you could only work 7 years. They could only own you for 7 years and then you go. But the thing is, if you married one of his other servants and had children, they had to stay. So if the 7 years said, you want to leave or go? Most of them were good masters. I know we have poo-pooed this thing so full. But there's so many that you can see writings of history that the slaves were very loved by their people and very careful with them and took very good care of them. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm not saying just like the sheriff's office and the police office. I know there's some bad dudes out there. But for the most part, they're straight shooters. But that bond slave, he would come to his master and the master would say, you can go now. And he said, but Master, I don't want to leave you. Do you remember what the prodigal son said about his dad's slaves? How good they have it. Here I'm sitting in an old pig pen. I'm going back. And they'd actually go out there and take their left ear and they'd take an awl. And he'd stand about the doorpost of the house and they'd poke a hole in his ear. And when they put, don't feel, you come on now, look at all those people outside there, got great big old ear deals on it. Don't give me that. You know, poke his ear, pop, pop. It only hurts for a while, I guess. And that was a sign that man was a bond slave. Didn't get paid. Just got his meals, place to sleep, and a place to work. That's what Apostle Paul said. That's what I am. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. He has given me so much, I couldn't even think about working for anybody else. I don't want to go any other place. I love this Master, and I want to serve Him. If any man hear my voice, just one person can turn the tide sometimes in a church. Just one person. If one person would get on fire, many churches would get on fire. And look what it says. Notice what he said, and sup with me. Supper's an evening meal. I love supper because you know what? Pretty much the day is done. Not for mama. Because you know, man's work is from sun to sun. Mama's work is never done. But when the church is so worldly as it is, the Bible says that Jesus is coming in the morning. By the way, sure seems like Jesus is coming pretty near, amen? But supper's night. What a joy in the world of night to sup with Jesus. Someday we're going to be with Jesus. Someday. Verse 21, it says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He's speaking about the millennium here. When we reign, Jesus upon the earth, he shall have the same. We shall have the same relationship to him as he had to his Father. That's incredible. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We are now through the study of the churches. And I hope we've gained something. I gave each one of you a sheet last week. How many still have that sheet? How many don't have the sheet that I gave last week? Is there some back on there? How many you got? Bring me one. I've got a different one here. I just want to go over that a little bit. We got about 4 minutes here. If you don't have one, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. Everybody ought to have one.
Only got three.
Got three. Okay. We'll make some more. So we have the church at Ephesus. And Christ holds the seven stars in the right hand and walks in the midst of the seven candlesticks. This is his condemnation. Commendation, excuse me. They work, they labor, and patient without bear those who are evil, judge the false apostles, hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And the only real group Jesus Christ gives them, they left their first love. And then his exhortation was, remember, repent, and do the first work. And then he said, the alternative to that, he said, I will come quickly and remove the candlestick out of this place. That's scary. And he promised he will eat the tree of life. And then we'll go to Smyrna. He said, I am the first and last who was dead and alive. Works, tribulation, poverty. He said, you've come through that. And there was no rebuke to the church of Smyrna. That's what we want to be. Amen? Amen? Yeah, amen. Fear not, be faithful unto death. And then he gives a promise, we'll receive the crown of life, will not be hurt of the second death. And then the persecution of the church of the second and third century. Pergamos. Here's Christ. He has a sharp sword with two edges. Their commendation, their work, they hold fast Jesus' name, have not denied the faith. Their rebuke, hold the doctrine of Balaam. They hold the doctrine of Nicolaitans. He said, get rid of that, amen. And he said, repent. Exhortation. He said, the alternative was, I will come quickly and fight against them with the sword in my mouth. The promise, we'll eat of the hidden manna and receive a white stone with a new name written therein. The historical view, I'm not going to do it. Some people get real hepped about that, and you read a lot of commentaries about saying, well, this is the second generation. I mean, this is the certain first century, the second century, third century, and so on. I'm not going to waste my time on that. Thyatira, eyes like a flame of fire, feet like fine brass. Their work and charity and service and faith and growth and works. God really encouraged them. Tolerated false prophets, Jezebel, to teach immorality and idolatry. He rebuked them. He said, repent, hold fast to that which I already have until I come. And then their alternative was, hey, there's a great tribulation and children will be killed. So I'm telling you, you're going to go through that if you don't know me as your Savior. And then he'll give power over the nations, will receive the morning star. Then Sardis has seven spirits and seven stars. Work a name, reputation of being alive. Well, that's good. But he says, yeah, but you're dead. You got a reputation, but your reputation is dead now. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Remember how you have received and heard. Hold fast. Repent. And he said, I will come as a thief in the night. I'm going to come, and you're not going to know I'm going to be there. He said, this is a promise. He said, we'll be clothed in white raiment. Named will not be blotted out of the book of life. Jesus will confess his name before the Father. And then Philadelphia. True has the key of David. That's Christ. Works has kept Jesus' word and has not denied his name. Have kept the word of his patience. There's no rebuke in Philadelphia either. Smyrna and Philadelphia. He said, hold fast what you have. And then he said, the alternative, that no man take thy crown. And he said, this is his promise, be kept from the hour of temptation. Be made a pillar in the temple of God in the new Jerusalem. Jesus' new name will be written on it. And then Laodicea, we just went over that, the amen, the faithful and true witness, beginning originating source of the creation of God. There's no commendation, no say, attaboy. Then the rebuke, lukewarm, neither cold or hot, wretched, miserable, and poor, and naked. And then exhortation, buy from Jesus refined gold, white clothes, and eye salve, be zealous, and repent. Get with it. Repent quickly. And he said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. That was his alternative. And in fellowship with Christ, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me, of course, if you will let him come in. All right.